Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, this week, four Florida school districts essentially defied an order from Governor Ron DeSantis. In Duval, Alachua, Leon, and Broward counties, school boards and superintendents announced plans to require masks for students when classes begin. Now, a week ago, the governor issued an executive order effectively banning schools from doing just that, mandating masks. The governor said he wanted them to, quote, breathe free. He threatened to even defund districts that require students to wear masks. But the governor's office now says the state will allow districts to institute mask requirements if parents can opt out.
There's plenty of developments happening with this story. The state's Board of Education is holding an emergency meeting today. It began an hour ago as we're live on this Friday at noon Eastern. The main topic is whether the state will allow students going to public schools with a mask requirement to use state vouchers to transfer to private schools. These vouchers have been limited to students experiencing bullying, harassment, or a violent act in the past.
And here's what's new today. The Florida Department of Education also says they believe mandatory mask policies for students qualify, in their words, as COVID-19 harassment. Here's the quote from the Department of Ed. They say, unnecessarily isolating, quarantining, or subjecting children to physical COVID-19 constraints in schools poses a threat to developmental upbringing. Now, we'll hear from a top education policy lawmaker later on in the show. But first, parents, students all over Florida, what do you think about masks when the new school year starts again? And teachers, how are you planning for the first days of school as the virus continues spreading? Give us a call across Florida right now. Join us, 305-995-1800, or tweet us at Florida Roundup.
This is the last weekend of summer vacation for students, parents, and teachers in Duval and Alachua County Public Schools. When the students return on Tuesday, they will have to wear masks. Elizabeth Anderson is the chair of the Duval County School Board. Carly Simon is the superintendent of the Alachua County Public School District. Elizabeth, Carly, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Elizabeth, do you consider the policy that your school board approved this week in Duval County a mask mandate?
I think it falls just short of a mask mandate. You know, we are recommending that students wear masks, but in alignment with the governor's executive order, we have provided that opt-out option for families and students.
Carly, what is the rule for Alachua County Public Schools next week as students return?
So when students return, we will have a 2 weeks of mandatory masking on our campuses. We do have an option that if a licensed physician signs our physician form and provides the rationale for why that student should not be wearing a mask, that can be used by the family.
So only a medical exemption in Alachua County then, Carly, is that correct?
That's where it stands at the moment, yes.
Could that change before the first day of school?
Well, so what we're hearing based on the State Board of Education is it looks like the additional component that we would provide to families is that they have the ability to utilize the HOPE scholarship and attend a school that provides the option that they are looking for. It sounded though as though that families who want mandatory masks could use this HOPE scholarship, as well as families who would like to opt out of mandatory masks could use it based on their school district across the state and whatever it's utilized for. So we do have a meeting later with the Department of Education where we will, as superintendents, be able to get more clarifying information on next steps.
I'm going to ask more about that discussion and debate that's happening now as we speak at the Board of Education emergency meeting. Elizabeth Anderson in Duval County, what are the opt-out procedures there?
So our team has been working quickly with our legal staff to develop the opt-out forms. I think those will be available today. We're going to go through our online platform focus so parents can find that opt-out form right at their fingertips on their cell phone. and be able to read through that language and make sure that they're really aware of the risks of opting out, and the procedures for doing that will come out through their schools as well, as soon as possible.
You mentioned the risks of opting out. Later on in this program, a top Republican lawmaker will claim that school boards, in his words, are lying to parents about masks, making them believe their children will not get COVID if there's a mask mandate. You'll hear those words later on. Is this what you're promising parents, Elizabeth?
I think what we are using is the language that we have seen out of the Center for Disease Control, and their recommendations that are coming out of the CDC. We also have some language in there related to liability and the statutes that have passed recently exempting folks from liability related to COVID-19.
The Republican lawmaker will say that school boards are implying that a mask requirement or recommendation is somehow protecting children from getting COVID. Do you hear the recommendation that the Duval County Public School Board passed this week in that same language?
You know, I'm not sure I do.
Carly, how about in Alachua County? Is there an explicit or implicit promise to parents that a child with a mask will not become infected with COVID-19 on campus?
No, I don't believe that we're making any form of a guarantee that having a mask somehow prevents you from getting COVID. We do have, considerable amounts of recommendations from medical professionals. And, you know, one of the benefits of having the University of Florida in our backyard is that we have access to world-renowned professionals in medicine and epidemiology, and they have told us that masks will help with the prevention. It's not the only way, it's not the 100% guarantee, but one of the things we're trying to do is reduce the risk, and so we are looking at masks as a way to reduce risk. But we also, on top of the mask mandate, one of the policies that I brought to my employees was that we not only were requiring masks, but we also were incentivizing vaccinations by having a $100 stipend for all staff members who have been vaccinated and all staff members who will be vaccinated. On top of that, because we appreciate the fact that our staff members have taken that additional step, we also are offering COVID leave for vaccinated individuals who perhaps have a breakthrough and catch the Delta variant, because we do appreciate what they're doing. We need our employees to be able to be in work. And so if they can get the vaccines, that's going to help us. So we're hoping that it's masks and it's vaccines. And the masks are really just to kind of reduce our risk. And the vaccines are what we're hoping is really going to take us to the next level. On top of that, we're collaborating with the Department of Health, and we're providing vaccination clinics on our campuses so we can offer vaccines to not only our employees, but our students who qualify for the age component.
Carly, stick with us. That's Carly Simon, superintendent of Alachua County Public Schools. Elizabeth Anderson is also with us here. She is the chair of the Duval County School Board here on the Florida Roundup.
Lots of tweets coming into the show. Tweet us at Florida Roundup. Zach tweets us, "I believe it should be left up to the school districts to determine their mask policies, not the state. The governor's claims that his recommendations are based on well-being are wrong, and they go against CDC guidelines that most other states are following. What do you think, Florida? Join us. 305-995-1800. Let's begin in Fernandina Beach. Dan is on the line. Dan, hi. Happy Friday. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just calling to comment on I'm at a complete loss to understand why people aren't accepting the science that tells us that vaccinating ourselves and children will be the ultimate way that we can get this disease under control. And because it is mutating as quickly as it is, unless we start getting everybody quickly up to the herd immunity, we're going to be continuing to have this problem. And I just don't understand where it is that science all of a sudden became something that one of our political parties refuses to acknowledge. It just seems unfathomable to me.
Thank you for that call, Dave. Elizabeth Anderson, chair of the Duval County School Board, you and your fellow board members and the Duval superintendent, Dr. Diana Green, say you made this decision based on science. You have heard from a vocal contingent of parents who don't like the decision, too. But tell us a little bit more about how science and public health informed this decision.
Sure. Thanks, Melissa. You know, we are not in the business of public health as board members or superintendents, right? Educating children and taking care of operating safe schools is what we do. And so we really turn to our partners, whether that's with the Department of Health or our local physicians, to help guide us in making these decisions. And I think locally here, given the numbers we've seen and the really loud voices of our medical professionals, we had to take a step in a direction that allowed for the most students to be able to find whatever avenue they feel is best for them and their family to stay safe from COVID-19.
Vanessa in Orlando. Vanessa, you're a parent, is that right?
Yes, I'm the parent of a five-year-old, and I'm sorry if I'm getting emotional, but this is such an important issue to me and my family. And literally all we have to protect our child is a mask because she is not eligible to get vaccinated right now. And I am, like the last caller, I am at a loss. I don't understand the decision-making of our governor. This is not following the science, and it makes me really nervous about putting her back in school. And right now, I don't know what to do with her, and school starts on Tuesday.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm going to do.
And Orange County schools, they're not mandating masks for students. Are they mandating masks for teachers and staff?
I've heard mixed things about that. I think as of last week, they said they were going to require it. But I feel that the best way to protect our children is for everyone to be wearing a mask, regardless of their vaccination status. And we are all vaccinated in our family, except for my daughter, because she's ineligible.
Yeah.
But I do think that vaccines and masks for everyone are the way to defeat this.
Thank you, Vanessa. I hear the fear and anxiety in your voice, and we've heard from lots of parents just like you. So thank you for explaining why you're so anxious. You know, Carly Simon, Superintendent Alachua County Public Schools, parents of kids under 12 are very, very worried. They know that the risk of their child getting COVID is less than it might be if the child were a young adult or an older adult, but that doesn't mean the risk is nothing. We are seeing pediatric hospitalizations skyrocket in this state, and pediatric deaths are happening too. So for parents of young children, this is a critical issue right now. Carly Simon.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, we're in a place where it's moving so quickly. It is clearly affecting our young children. And no one wants to find themselves in a situation where their child is seriously ill, and even worse, more so, no one would like their child to die from something that we can do some level of prevention. And I think that's why our school district focused on making sure that we had all of our employees, vendors, and any visitors masked, and then the board did vote to have a mandatory mask for students. Because of these concerns, we're hoping that we can get through the surge and then start to be able to go back to our life. But we take it very seriously. We take human life very seriously, and we want to make sure that we are doing what we can to support that. And like Duval County, we are very interested in the expertise of our public health officials and our medical professionals.
Carly, one of the policies that was used last year to address that safety was to quarantine students and teachers who had come into close proximity of somebody who tested positive for COVID-19. Those quarantines could be a couple of weeks long, for instance, where students would have to learn online outside of school. What are the quarantine policy that Alachua County has in place for the next school year next week?
So we are aligning our quarantine policy with the CDC recommendations. And one of the benefits,
regardless of vaccination status of a student or teacher, if they're exposed. Well,
so to align with what the CDC is recommending, they do have vaccination status associated with their recommendations. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you are vaccinated and wearing a mask, then we wouldn't require you to quarantine. But one of the things that I think is really important, especially for our children who are 12 and under, who we know are not vaccinated, that if we have two students who are both masked, we won't need to quarantine these students. Where if we had one student that was not masked and another student that was masked and they were in the social distancing 3 feet and a positive case occurred, then both of these students would need to quarantine. And so it really just, by us mandatory masking individuals, this is going to help us reduce the amount of quarantines that we have across the district and definitely the amount of lost instructional hours.
Here's a tweet from a teacher. He says, I'm a teacher. The mask policies won't matter. There are so many cases now between teachers, staff, and kids who are sick and those who will have to be quarantined. We will likely end up closing schools. Hopefully that won't happen. Thanks for the tweet and thanks for all your calls. Let's go to Jason in Orlando. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I have more of a question and a comment. I'm a social worker, and I work with kids during the week. And, I mean, I'm coming from a lot of places where kids are already testing positive for COVID going into the school year or quarantining prior to school year starting. And sometimes working with kids at schools, kids are not the best mask upkeepers. And regardless, during lunchtime, from what I'm aware, kids have to take off their masks. So, I mean, my question is, why aren't we looking at closing schools like we did when COVID was in 2020? The Delta virus worse. It infects more. So, I mean, has that been something they've looked at? Because, like, the previous comment, it may look like, in my opinion, that school will have to close down.
Let's find out. Elizabeth Anderson, chair of the Duval County School Board. I do believe more parents are opting for virtual learning, but by and large, your priority is to keep schools open. Can you talk quickly about that in the minute or so we have left?
Sure. So I think last year was a different situation. We knew very little about the virus still, especially the way it impacted students. And we've learned a lot more as we've gone through the school year. We know that we want to be able to offer in-person learning to children. The other big thing about last year is that in some of the executive orders and waivers we saw coming out of state leaders related to education, there was a mechanism for funding students through their enrolled school virtually. And this year, those waivers don't exist. So we are a little bit limited in being able to continue to offer a robust virtual platform while a student remains enrolled at their neighborhood school in a way that wasn't so last year.
Well, Elizabeth, Carly, thank you so much for spending some time with us and our listeners. Elizabeth Anderson is the chair of the Duval County School Board. Carly Simon is superintendent of schools in Alachua County. To each of you, thanks for your time and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you for having us.
You can continue to share your thoughts. We're on Twitter at Florida Roundup. We're going to continue to talk about children, schools, the coming school year, just really a matter of days away for some in Florida. It's still all ahead as you're listening to the Florida Roundup here from Florida Public Radio. Stick with us.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
In Miami, I'm Tom Hudson. The state's Board of Education is in an emergency meeting as we're on the radio live here on this Friday, discussing if the state will allow students going to public schools with a mask requirement to use state vouchers to transfer to private schools. Now, these vouchers traditionally have been limited to students experiencing bullying, harassment, or a violent act. The Florida Department of Education draft policy says mandatory mask policies for Florida public school students qualify as COVID-19 harassment, in the words of the draft policy. 305-995-1800, our phone number, 305-995-1800, or at Florida Roundup.
Your calls and tweets in a bit, but first, I spoke about these issues Thursday with State Representative Randy Fine. He's a Republican of Brevard County. Fine is also chair of the Florida House's Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee. And he almost died from COVID-19 himself last summer. Fine says he's against mask mandates, but for promoting vaccinations. Representative Fine, good to be with you. Thanks for joining us here on the Florida Roundup.
Of course.
I'd like to get your thoughts about this, both as a representative that has oversight over education and also someone who survived a bout with COVID-19. Let's begin with the latest on this. Four local school districts decided to require masks for students. The governor had said he would not allow that. He is now saying that it's okay as long as parents can opt out. Where do you fall on this?
Well, that's what not having a mandate is, if parents can opt out. That's, I think, what the governor said all along. I do not believe the government should be telling parents how to raise their children. And frankly, I think these school boards are being incredibly irresponsible by focusing on something that won't solve the problem. They should put their energy into telling people to get vaccinated. And they're lying to parents because they're making parents believe that their children will never get COVID if there's a mask mandate. I had a father call me and said his child will die if he gets COVID. So how could I not protect his kid with a mask mandate? And I explained to him, a mask mandate won't prevent your child from getting COVID. It might reduce the odds, but if your child's going to die, that's not going to solve your problem. And he realized, and he got very angry, because he said, you know what? I need to virtual educate my child. My school board is lying to me.
Well, certainly masks aren't a panacea, but they do reduce the transmission of the virus. So what about parents that feel that, particularly for kids under the age of 12 that aren't eligible to be vaccinated, they want to make sure that their child is masked up and kids that they're around are also masked up just to make the classroom environment safer right now?
But they don't have the right to tell other parents what to do. They can mask up their child. And if they are truly petrified of their child contracting COVID, they need to follow the science and keep their child at home with a virtual education option.
But shouldn't the parents that don't want to mask up, shouldn't the onus be on them at this point?
Why? The government has the right to raise your child, not parents.
But the Department of Education has essentially said that school boards do have the authority to call for these mandates in the interest of the health and lives of the children and the staff and the teachers in the schools.
Which department?
And I mean, and that's in the Florida Constitution, too.
Sure. But again, I want to point out that they are misleading parents by telling them if we have a mask mandate, your child can't catch COVID. They need to be honest. If they want to focus on a panacea, on something that does eliminate your risk of dying of COVID, they need to tell people to go and get vaccinated. And the problem is, the reason for these mask mandates is to protect people who are unvaccinated from the cause, from what could happen if they get it. We need to focus on getting those people vaccinated, not feel-good virtue signaling like mask mandates that will not protect children.
Well, let me ask you about some other comments you've made recently. You've suggested that if parents don't want to mask up their children, they could apply for a voucher that uses state education money. And essentially, they could take their child out of a public school and put them in a school that has a different policy around masks. Can you explain your position on that?
Sure. And it's actually very exciting. The governor and our team seem to be taking that idea and taking it to the next level and allowing people to go and get HOPE scholarships for that situation. My thought is this. I want parents to be able to raise their children the way that they want. I also believe private schools have the right to do whatever they want. And so if a private school wants to have a mask mandate, and that is the kind of school you want to send your child to, I want to help you do that. I don't believe in telling parents how to raise their children.
Isn't this kind of opt-out normally set up for students who've been suffering bullying or harassment? This would be a big expansion of this kind of use of a voucher, wouldn't it?
Well, I would prefer that schools just follow the governor's directive and not mandate masks. But I'm trying to come up with ways. Then you're talking about the governor's idea, not what I talked about earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer that schools follow the science and not have mask mandates.
But they say they are following the science. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Centers for Disease Control, they're all recommending mandating masks for students in areas of the state that have high transmission of the virus, which is most of the state right now.
Right. You mean the guidance today and not the guidance a week ago. Look, the fact of the matter is these people have lost all credibility. The Delta variant was ravaging the world months ago when they relaxed the mask mandates. So before anyone puts any credibility in what any of these people say, those organizations need to stand up and admit that tens of thousands of people died because they screwed up and didn't follow what they now say is the science. People act as though the Delta variant is 2 weeks old. It's been ravaging India and the UK for months. At the same time, these so-called experts said we didn't have to be wearing masks. So either they're misleading us or they're just stupid. Either way, they need to fess up to it.
You survived COVID-19. In fact, you were told at one point you could die. And so, so what's your message to folks out there who are still not wanting to be vaccinated against this virus?
I tell them to get vaccinated. As passionate as I am against government mandates, I am passionate about vaccination. It's why I'm so angry about the mask mandates, because they are distracting from the science. If you don't want to die of COVID, go get vaccinated. A mask mandate will not ensure that you don't catch it, because people who are vaccinated are catching it, but they're not going to the hospital and they're not dying. And so we need to stop with virtue signaling and we need to focus on results, which the governor...
What do you mean by virtue signaling?
Mask mandates don't ensure you won't get COVID. A vaccine ensures you won't die.
But so Representative Fine, what about kids under 12? Because that's who really we're hearing from the most, is parents of children under 12 who are worried for their kids. They're not old enough to be vaccinated yet.
But the data shows, and both of my kids had COVID, the data shows that schools have not been vectors for transmission. It also shows that young children, unless they have severe underlying conditions, react quite moderately to COVID. And so again, for those parents who've called my office and said, my child will die if I get COVID, I say, don't believe the liars on these school boards who are telling you your child will be safe with a mask mandate. They will not. They might be safer. But if my child has a 10% chance of getting COVID and they die if they get it, and a mask mandate reduces that 10% to 5%, am I willing to take that risk? Mask mandates do not solve the problem. Vaccination does, and it's adults who need to be going and get vaccinated. And we need to focus on solving the problem and not these meaningless exercises that might make people feel good but don't actually accomplish anything.
State Representative Randy Fine, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. A rigorous, robust conversation happening on social media as well, at Florida Roundup. Be sure to tag us there. Angie in Sarasota County is with us on Line 12. Angie, thanks for your patience. You're on the radio now.
Yes, hi. I just have to respond to the representative. With all due respect, I know many teachers that are not vaccinated. And I have an 88-year-old mother-in-law at home. We're all vaccinated as adults at home. My second grader is not. Yes, masks do not solve the problem, but they help. And if there is a surge in our area, we should be able to mask up based on science. That's it. Thank you for having me.
Angie, thank you for sharing your voice with us here on the Florida Roundup. Mark Richard is with us now, an attorney with the Florida Education Association. Mark, thanks for sharing your time with us on this Friday.
Thank you.
Lots to get to here, lots of legal issues as well, and some legal maneuvers. Do you expect, first of all, any legal challenges by the state of Florida to mask rules that have been approved by local school boards so far?
I think what we're hearing across the state is that we are likely to see a flurry of litigation. Parents who are lawyers, lawyers who care about the safety of children are all being contacted from what we hear.
But do you expect the state to file any legal challenges against these school districts?
They might. They threaten to withhold funds. There are some school boards that are sort of very bravely standing up for the science. So yes, I think one could assume the litigation is on the rise. I don't know if the state will file litigation as much as allege that they're going to withhold funding, actually hurt children by holding up funding from the school district. But that's been the threat so far.
Mark, I think it's a wireless headset you may be on. It's getting a little scratchy for us to hear you on the radio. If I may ask you to disengage the wireless headset here for a moment so we can hear you a little bit better during our conversation. That would be helpful, I know, for the experience for the whole audience to be able to hear each and every word that you say. Can we try out your audio now, Mark? Looks like we may have lost him altogether. Well,
you know what? We wait for him, we've got lots of calls and tweets. My goodness. Can we get John in Orlando quickly? John in Orlando.
We can, yes.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Hi there. How are you?
Great. Go ahead.
All right. I'm on wireless, too, sure, so I hope this doesn't mess up. But I, number one, the representative that was on before, it does what so many politicians do. And basically laid down false premises in his arguments. Number one, I don't know of any school district. Can you hear me?
Yeah, finish your thought, John. Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. But I don't know of any school districts that are saying wearing masks is going to fix the problem. You know, last year in Seminole County and around the state, they had protocols in place. It was a system that worked, and masks were part of that system, and it helps. It doesn't fix everything, but it helps. And I've never heard any school district saying if you wear a mask, you won't get COVID. That is false. And number two, I don't know what this raising kids, telling people how to raise their kids has to do with masks. Wearing masks is not a value. It is simply like wearing a seatbelt or anything else that we have as a law to protect us as a society. And it has nothing to do with how you raise your kids. I just think that's ridiculous as well. It is in the Constitution of our state that the kids are supposed to have a safe education. It's in our Declaration of Independence for the country that the government is supposed to promote the general welfare. And that's all we're doing, or not doing, I guess. So if he wants to blame somebody for not getting vaccinated, you can blame that on the people who are fighting this and using masks as a political football for no good reason. They're the same ones that don't want to get vaccinated. And lastly, I'll just say that the blackmail that this governor is trying to pull on these schools is, I think, the most despicable thing I've ever seen any politician do. It is, I can't believe that it's come to this.
John?
It's just his own selfish political reasons. Anyway.
Thank you, John. That's John in Orlando. And look, there's no way we could get every tweet on the air, Tom, because it's just on fire today. But here's one tweet from Tim. Nobody likes masks. But the virus is more harmful than mask wearing. It's a pretty easy concept even for kids and voters. School boards should stand their ground against anti-science extremists, he says. You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Mark Richard is an attorney with the Florida Education Association. Mark, let's see how that Zoom connection is now.
Is it any better now?
It is much better. Thank you very much for sticking with us there. Let's talk about kind of just real quick on the legal side of things regarding the governor's executive order and the school districts, some school districts' efforts towards mask recommendations and opt-out mask policy. The governor says the Parent Bill of Rights, a Florida law that he signed earlier this summer, bans any government agency from interfering with the right of a parent to direct their child's education without demonstrating it's reasonable and necessary. So are mask policies, mask recommendations necessary?
Well, we think so, and we have to look to the science. And as the caller just said a moment ago, the best science in an unprecedented pandemic where people are learning every day new science says that transmission is helped or the transmission is regresses if, in fact, you have masks. I don't think any of us would want to go into a surgical suite and see the surgeon and have her not have a mask on. It is almost something that's been around medical science for centuries, the passing of germs and viruses, et cetera.
Today, the Board of Education is considering a policy that would allow students attending public schools with a mask requirement to use state vouchers to move to private schools. What's the response from the FEA?
Well, I don't know if it's from the FEA. I can tell you what many in the legal community are saying. This appears to be a power grab by the governor. The governor is only one branch of government. we have local school boards that are constitutionally recognized in Article 9 of our Florida Constitution. They are elected. They have powers and responsibilities and limitations as well. And what's happening is we're basically saying there are no school boards in our 67 county. There's one person with a pen who comes forward and says, this is how you're going to adjust and deal with local issues. Each school board should look at the transmission rates. They know their schools, they know the ventilation, and they care about the safety of kids. This is a potentially lethal virus.
How is that though related to what the Board of Education is thinking about today, is considering today, this expansion? I think fairly you can call it an expansion of the HOPE scholarship, the state voucher program that would be now eligible for students who would want to essentially opt out of their public school because of a mask recommendation or a mask requirement.
It raises legal questions as well. That was not the intent of that voucher program. Whether it was misguided or not, it was to deal with students who allege bullyism to be able to take a voucher and go somewhere else. Let's put the wisdom or lack thereof aside on that. The question is, how does one call a meeting with no notice? It came, the rule didn't come out until today.
Correct. But the rule came out today, the draft rule. The notice was made yesterday, though. The notice of the meeting.
Correct. But it's usually supposed to be more time than that. But that's irrelevant for now. But they're arguing, in essence, that the school board attempting to do safety issues or conduct safety issues is a form of bullying.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, they call it COVID-19 harassment. Another question of this, which we've gotten on social media, is could a student who wants to go to a school with a mask requirement use this same state voucher program to go to a private school with a mask policy?
Well, that raises other legal issues. And is this maneuver really a political maneuver in a furtherance to defund schools, public schools, and let someone go get a private school with masks?
Yeah. Mark, we got a lot to talk about. We've got to leave it there, though, because we're up against the clock. But we do appreciate you sticking with us. Mark Richard, the Florida Education Association attorney. Lots more of your phone calls, lots more conversation about kids, the virus, and masks next on the Florida Roundup. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks again for listening. In Miami, I'm Tom Hudson.
And in Jacksonville, I'm Melissa Ross. And this hour, we are talking about COVID-19. It is spreading throughout the state, sending hundreds of people each day to Florida hospitals, just as a new school year is about to begin. Join us, 305-995-1800. Tweet us at Florida Roundup.
The number of people in Florida hospitals with COVID-19 is approaching 13,000. It has been hitting new records each day this week. And more than 9 out of 10 of those hospitalized in Florida are unvaccinated. Earlier today, we spoke with CEO of the Florida Hospital Association, Mary Mayhew.
It is dramatically different from what we experienced in the last COVID, the last variant, which really was focused on and affecting older individuals over 65. We are seeing 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds in the hospital, in ICU, on ventilators. And these are healthy 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds who are being hospitalized for COVID. One hospital in Jacksonville, their average age down around 42 years old, where previously the average age was 65.
Let's talk about capacity. Governor Ron DeSantis has made a point that hospitals are open for business, yet some have reduced or are eliminating elective procedures to ensure that they have hospital capacity if the Delta variant continues spreading as fast as it has. How concerned are you about hospital capacity?
I'm concerned. We have hospitals right now that are converting cafeterias, auditoriums, boardrooms to provide patient care services. We have hospitals right now that are trying to transfer patients because they have run out of beds. Hospitals have made a lot of decisions. They are very sophisticated in their surge planning to meet demand and capacity. The issue, too, is not only have we seen a rapid increase in COVID hospitalizations, but we have a significant volume of very ill non-COVID patients in the hospitals today as well.
Is that normal for this time of year to see that kind of patient demand because of illness? And what kind of illnesses are you talking about?
It is incredibly unusual to see the volumes we are seeing around the state. Typically in the summer, there would be more of a lower volume. Mm-hmm. We are seeing respiratory illnesses, again, typically not this time of year for children and adults that are requiring hospitalizations. Our emergency departments are seeing volumes that they have not seen in a significant amount of time. And again, at higher levels than they would typically see this time of year. So it is this combined pressure that is challenging to current capacity, along with a workforce shortage. Mm-hmm. So we can add beds, but we've got to have the nurses, the doctors, the respiratory therapists at the bedside.
Federal government data shows over 150 children in Florida hospitals with COVID-19. The Miami Herald has reported the steepest increase among COVID patients has been among kids under 12 years old. They are not eligible for vaccinations. How should the hospitalization data here in Florida of children be considered when considering schools and masks?
We are monitoring that data very closely. Previously, children had not been largely affected by COVID. You know, the challenge with this virus, and particularly now with this new variant, with the Delta variant, we're learning something new about the virus almost every day.
The governor has made the point that the fatality rate is much lower and the age of those hospitalized is lower. As you mentioned, Mary, are these the appropriate measuring sticks?
You know, the greatest concern and fear previously for our frail elderly, for those with significant underlying medical conditions, that's who we were seeing in the hospital. We were seeing significant transfers from our nursing homes, our assisted living facilities. You know, Florida's done a phenomenal job getting our elderly population, our most vulnerable, vaccinated. Our transfers from nursing homes, assisted living facilities are less than 3% of who we're treating today in the hospital for COVID. So critically important, but we've got to understand, and we can't lose sight of the key message here, which is we need 25-year-olds to understand that this Delta variant is attacking their age group and putting them in the hospital. They need to get vaccinated.
Mary Mayhew is the president and CEO of the Florida Hospital Association. Mary, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Let's do a quick call from Panama City. It's David on the line. David, hello. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. A lot of talk about the science, and the problem with this talk about the science is that the only science that is allowed to be talked about is the politically correct narrative. All the rest of the science, which is the vast majority of true science, is being censored. And you can still get a hold of it if you know where to find it, but it's being censored.
Well, what's being censored? What's being censored?
Well, for instance, all of the studies over the past half a century on mask efficacy for viruses, and there have been many, they show very clearly that it absolutely is worthless.
Well, now, David, sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's simply not true. And I appreciate the call, and I'm glad we're getting calls from all over the state of Florida, including the Panhandle. But you know what? You're wrong about that. Mask wearing does reduce transmission of this virus. Now, we're going to hear from a scientist in just a moment. But first, you're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. As we turn it over to Dr. Eileen Marty now, infectious disease expert at Florida International University, Mighty Marty, you are a nationally recognized expert on this. What about that caller saying masks don't work?
It's really sad when people are given false information and then they believe the false information. I think that he needs to be very careful as to what his sources are. I think that, for example, I want to praise John in Orlando. His comments were absolutely spot on, as well as the comments by Mary Maghew, which were absolutely phenomenal. I think that everyone needs to realize that there are very well done studies and that there's a reason why those of us in hospitals have been using masks to protect our patients for decades.
Yeah.
And to protect ourselves.
I don't want anyone operating on me or even even the dentist bending over me to do my teeth cleaning without a mask. You know, let me ask you, Dr. Marty, pediatric hospitalizations in Florida are the highest in the nation. Tell us about this and your concerns.
Yes. So this is absolutely tragic. The number of children that we're seeing is absolutely mind-blowing. We've never had these kinds of numbers before. And I think it's important that everyone realize that just a few days ago, on the 29th of July, the American Academy of Pediatrics had estimated at that time almost 4.2 million children in the United States that have had COVID-19, and that children represented 14.3%, and that has gone up. We are now children representing 19% of the cases that we're seeing of COVID-19, and some of these children are so ill that we're giving them monoclonal antibodies and that we're having to put them on ventilators. And the situation is grave.
Let's go quickly to Jonathan in Apopka, Florida. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, Jonathan. We're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Hi, I just want to say we have a 7-year-old son. He was in summer camp this summer, and we were asking him to wear a mask indoors. And he was the only kid wearing a mask. Kids would come up to him and say, "Why are you wearing a mask? My parents say, I don't have to." And, you know, it was very hard for him to do that all day long. And he would always end the day without a mask. So what this policy is doing is it puts all the pressure on a 7-year-old to stay safe instead of having a mask mandate where everyone's doing it. There's peer pressure. He wants to fit in.
Sure. Thanks for that perspective as a parent, Jonathan. Dr. Marty, your final thoughts as we head back to school this month around the state.
Well, first, let me empathize tremendously with Jonathan from Apopka, Florida. He's absolutely right. The peer pressure is a big factor. And where you had a representative who was arguing that mandates have nothing to do with it, he's mistaking the difference between a mandate and adherence to a mandate one way or another. Bottom line is masks help. The American Academy of Pediatrics has made it clear that anyone over the age of 2 should absolutely be wearing those in school, because we need the schools to be open, because it's good for the education of the child, the socialization of the child, and the ability of parents to work. All of that combined has a huge effect on our society now and for the future. Moreover, the Infectious Disease Society of America, the American Academy of virtually every medical association agrees with the American Academy of Pediatrics in this position. And we need to get politics out of this completely and to realize that we need to add as many layers as we can of protection against this horrific virus.
Thank you so much for your insights. She's Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease expert at Florida International University. And thanks to everyone who engaged with us this hour on the phone lines and on Twitter. Incredible engagement there. Thanks everyone for that. And thanks for listening to the Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Andrea Podormo are the producers.
WLRN's Director of Radio Operations is Peter Mertz. He also answered the phone calls today. Thanks, Peter. Richard Ives was the program's technical director. Engineering help each and every week from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Isabella Da Silva. Our theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back next Friday at noon.